May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" You see, they wanted to know whose fault it was. They wanted to know what wrong had been done that they could justify this man being born blind. Retributive justice was one of the less edifying gifts of ancient Near Eastern cultures. This understanding of justice is perhaps best known from the Code of Hammurabi, the ancient Babylonian king through whom we receive the all too well-known phrase, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. This form of justice, common in ancient Near Eastern cultures, found its way into a written tradition concerning a fledgling people wandering the desert east of Egypt for decades before invading the lands we know today as Israel and Palestine. Indeed, the law of Moses includes a spirit of retributive justice, particularly in Exodus 21, which paraphrases the well-known phrase from the Code of Hammurabi. If any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Deuteronomy 19 also possesses a spirit of retributive justice. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. The rest shall hear and be afraid, and a crime such as this shall never again be committed among you. Show no pity. Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Wow. There's not a lot of grace in that, is there? When the man born blind, healed by Jesus, spoke of Jesus in a positive light, saying that by virtue of what he has done, he must come from God, the Judean religious leaders answered him, "You were born entirely in sins. And are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. They silenced him. After all, he was born in sin, was he not? The marginalized need have no voice. Ouch. No. No grace at all. And yet this sounds very familiar. I think I hear it just about every day. Get a job, you bum. That homeless man works full time and still cannot afford a home for him and his three children. His wife died 2 years ago, and none of the children are old enough to work. Maybe if you worked harder, you wouldn't need a government handout. This single mother works at least 12 hours every day, but is still buried by crushing debt and cannot make ends meet to care for her daughter without government assistance. And no, for the record, she is not spending it on drugs. Let's throw out all the illegals. That child, now trying to get into college, did not make the choice to cross the border when she was 3 months old. It's not our war. We should stay out of it. That Syrian family in the refugee camp didn't want war either. But it was not their decision to make, and war devastated their home anyway. They still do not know where their youngest two children are, or even if they are still alive. Maybe you should focus more on school than your jobs. Being a student is your job. This teenager has one parent in prison, another with debilitating back problems, and three younger siblings. He works two jobs, barely gets enough sleep, let alone time to do much homework, in order to help support his family. If conditions don't improve soon, he may have to drop out of school altogether and give up his hope of going to college in order to make time for a third job. Oh God, not the race card again. Systems designed to sustain white privilege have been a stumbling block throughout this young man's entire life. Now attending a top-tier university, he begins to vulnerably share his story in a sociology class. And this is what he hears another student say in return. You know, she was asking for it. Actually, no, she wasn't. She was asking for it to stop. Marriage should only be between one man and one woman, and we voted on that. These American citizens do not share the same rights as others, and their entitlement to such rights are items on a ballot. This is based on the view of subsections of a particular religion that does not speak for the entire nation. Why should we pay to keep these criminals alive? They don't deserve anything after what they did. The dehumanized inmate serving a life sentence has learned more about Christian call to mercy and forgiveness in 30 years of prison than most do outside in the free world. You see, while retributive justice would have us always seek a self-induced cause for another's misfortune, Christ calls us to a different kind of justice, a new perspective, a different way of thinking. And of all this, what does the Apostle Paul say in the epistle to the church in Ephesus? For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Grace lives in Jesus' healing of the blind man. The good news is that Jesus came into this world for judgment, not the judgment of retributive justice that the religious leaders of his time would dictate, but a new kind of justice, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. Because baptized, we are united in Christ's death and resurrection. Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. In Christ, we are no longer blind. We are no longer darkness, but we are light. We are called in the waters of our baptism to expose the works of darkness. Withholding forgiveness is darkness. Lack of mercy or compassion is darkness. Violence, intolerance, judgment, economic inequality, propagation of food deserts, limitations on human rights, voting on whether to exclude the other from the same civil rights that we enjoy, rape culture, slut-shaming, homophobia, transphobia, racism, sexism, heterosexism, classism, socioeconomic elitism. Someone at the 8 o'clock shouted out ageism. Am I missing any isms? These are all works of darkness, of the evil one, of sin. So how shall we respond to this darkness? How shall we expose it for what it is? Speak out, advocate, vote, confront. When your spirit is troubled and you become angry, use that for God's mission of restoration and justice. I encourage all of us during our Lenten pilgrimage toward the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to take inventory of our successes and failings at living into our baptismal covenant, which we will renew in just a few weeks during the great Easter Vigil on Holy Saturday. You can find that portion of the liturgy on pages 292 to 294 in the Book of Common Prayer. We are called in our baptism as the adopted children of God, as heirs of the promise, as children of the light to expose this darkness. We are called to cry out like a voice in the wilderness, "This will not stand." Trusting in the Lord, we shout out as the psalmist did, "How long, God? How long?" And I'm reminded of our reading today from the first book of Samuel. Samuel sees Eliab is tall and strong, and yet God tells him that this shall not be the anointed one, the new king over Israel. One by one, the sons of Jesse pass him by, and God says that none of them are to be the anointed. Because you see, we, mere mortals, are often impatient and experience a very human sense of hurry to see God at work. Yet to be the witness of divine action requires patience. Sometimes God's justice does not come immediately. Sometimes God's justice, like God's anointed, does not come in the way we might imagine, expect, or dare to demand of God. Sometimes the anointed king of Israel comes in the form of a young shepherd boy. But remember, in baptism, we are all God's anointed. We are called to be the hands of God, the body of Christ in the world, through whom God's justice and mission are made real. Sometimes God's anointed is an attorney, or a teacher, a retiree, or a college student, unemployed by choice or otherwise, a parent or a sibling. We're all called to represent Christ in the world. And as God's anointed, we do not have the luxury of sitting idly by in the face of injustice and apathetically tolerating works of darkness. Always, our hope comes in the form of a vulnerable infant child who would grow up to be a man tortured and executed in a manner reserved for the worst political offenders and terrorists. The Word of God who would endure the shame of the cross for our salvation. This Prince of Peace was not quite the militaristic Messiah that some of his people were looking for. We must trust in the constant coming of the kingdom, the reign of God, that was and is to come. We must live as children of light, exposing the darkness and crying out for God's justice, working towards the justice that we can. We must hold firm in our faith and hope that the justice of God, our shepherd, will triumph over all. And that, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is indeed good news. Amen.